This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hello everyone, welcome to Podcast of 1000 Holds. My name is Mike. I love professional wrestling. I've always loved professional wrestling. But I honestly feel like, in this day and age, it's really hard to be a wrestling fan. And it definitely has nothing to do with match quality or wrestling being bad. You know, when I was a kid, primarily for wrestling shows to watch, and this is in the 80s, we had the weekend shows. Between the WWF and WCW, they had a litany of weekend shows that you could watch, you know, Superstars of Wrestling, Wrestling Challenge, All-American Wrestling, WCW Saturday Night, Main Event, WCW Worldwide. I mean, the lineup of the shows, the names, they changed over the years, but primarily, you know, those were the weekend shows that you had to watch for wrestling, and they were an hour long each, or in the case of Saturday Night, years later, 2 hours. You know, and then you had the occasional special, like you had Clash of the Champions, you had Saturday Night's Main Event. Of course, primetime wrestling on every Monday night on the USA Network, which gave us some of those arena matches from the big venues that we couldn't see. But any way you looked at it, you know, these shows, the weekend shows, they wanted you to come out to the house shows to watch wrestling. So you got enhancement matches, as they call them now. They wanted you to buy the pay-per-views, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, Starrcade. You know, that's what they were pushing for and gearing you towards. It wasn't until the Monday Night Wars when Monday Night Wrestling became so popular and the weekend shows now became pretty much recap shows. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the fact that AWA had a show on 5 days a week on ESPN for a short time, or the fact that, like, I had a local federation that was on my local channel called ICW, promoted by the Savoldi family, and then it later became IWCCW when they merged with World Class, when International Championship Wrestling became International World Class Championship Wrestling. Doesn't roll off the tongue as easy, I realize. But, you know, in 93 when Raw started, and 95 when Nitro started, you know, Monday nights became the biggest night of wrestling. But still, you had a limited amount of wrestling that you could consume. You had those Monday night shows that had new matches. You had the weekend shows that were primarily recap with maybe a new match. So if you didn't miss, if you missed those, no big deal. And then, you know, ESPN came along. Not ESPN, ECW came along. And Extreme Championship Wrestling gave us that 1 hour of underground, raw, you know, almost like, God, should I even be watching this wrestling? And that was primarily it. Yes, there's some other things out there. I could talk on and on and on about the litany of all the smaller or different or unique or independent federations, whatever, that maybe had a local show in markets somewhere. But that was our core wrestling that we watched. So, as a wrestling fan, I always prided myself on my knowledge of wrestling, keeping up with current storylines, current events, what was going on with all the characters, what they did in the past, what they were doing in the future. But it was easier to stay caught up and stay up to date because there was much less to consume. You know, even with the magazines, I've got all the magazines, not just the Aftermags, but like New Wave Wrestling, the Raw Magazine, WCW Magazine. I mean, I knew each week when those magazines are coming out on the newsstand so I could go pick them up. And that's a story for another day. But those magazines, like PWI, they let you know what was going on around the world and then around the country on some of the independents. And again, it made it easier to follow along with the major storylines because they told you about them. Now, when it came to trying to watch some of these other things, it became harder. Like New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, a major show would come out, like, say, a Tokyo Dome show. And maybe 3, 4, 5 months later, I would manage to get my hands on a copy through tape trading. You know, as time progressed, that became easier. And that's when, like, say, fast-forwarding a lot now to the 2000s, you know, WCW's closed, ECW's closed, TNA's around, and then there's a few more here and there. You know, Ring of Honor pops up, But for the most part, it's still, you know, it's limited. You can only get what your local TV market's going to let you see, and then tape trading. Well, then YouTube came along, and YouTube allowed us to watch wrestling that we maybe didn't get to see sooner, like New Japan, like All Japan, like AAA, like CMLL, like the Independents. Right, you know, then you had RF Video come along that they were selling videos that you maybe couldn't get your hands on. I mean, that allowed you to get your hands on footage sooner. I mean, there became more ways to consume wrestling. But it's still, again, it wasn't something you could consume weekly or monthly like it would eventually become. So again, it was easier to maintain that knowledge base like that I kind of prided myself on. But now, whew, it is so much easier to get wrestling from around the world thanks to the internet streaming companies. Like, for instance, WWE Network, New Japan World, Rev Pro, Demand Progress, WXW, the World Wrestling Live Network, DDT Universe, Sunday Girls, Stardom. Sunday Girls just started their own. All Japan has their own streaming service now. I mean, my Roku box has so many free and paid wrestling channels, it's crazy. There's one that's just called Rasslin, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, and you just hit play on that one, and I don't know where it gets their footage from. I don't know if they pull it from YouTube. I don't know if they just have tons of footage on their servers, but it'll pull up a great wrestling match or a show. So, I mean, like, when it pulls up, you could get a promo, you get a whole hour-long show, you could get just a single match, and it could be from any time from a wrestling. I mean, they had stuff up there on there from the 50s. I've watched stuff, a lot of AWA stuff, some independent stuff, including Beyond Wrestling, some Impact Wrestling stuff, some older WWF stuff, some independent stuff out of Canada even. I mean, it's really crazy. Like, again, I don't know where they get their footage, but it varies from time to time. And you'll get a match or a show or a promo and then a commercial. And then a match or whatever it is and then a commercial. So each one of the videos are intertwined with a commercial, you know, on each side. And the commercials are 30 seconds. But it's fun. Sometimes I just throw it on in the background when I'm doing something else because I'm not paying attention 100%. But it's just the fact that that is available now is crazy to me and wonderful to me. On YouTube, a lot of indie companies have their own wrestling shows. Like Appalachian Championship Wrestling has a 30-minute weekly show that they put on. And their production value is pretty decent. AAA posts a lot of their stuff there. Like their TV shows, sometimes their big arena events, completely uncut. Like the whole show. And again, yes, the commentary is in Spanish, but if it's good wrestling, it doesn't matter. But you can follow along. And then there's all these independent companies around the United States and around the world, really. I guess you could call them super independents. You know, like Limitless Wrestling out of Maine, Beyond Wrestling out of Rhode Island, Massachusetts area, AIW, Crash Wrestling, Bar Wrestling. I mean, Lucha Underground has a show. I mean, there's so much wrestling out there. And you have a lot of these independents now. It's almost like with all this wrestling out there, it's like they're bringing back the territory system, except it's available worldwide instead of just in that region. You know, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood out of California, you know, they're now on the NESN. They just debuted on the New England Sports Network on NESN, and they're on syndicated, you know, around the world, I guess, or around the United States. I mean, it's crazy. There's so much wrestling you can consume. There's so many great wrestlers out there that you can have access to at once. It's not like in the territory days or even in the 80s or whatever when you're just focused on that one promotion in your territory or those handful of shows that you can actually watch where you have to let them bring you the talent to see these wrestlers. I mean, now it's so easy to follow your favorite wrestlers around the world online from the privacy of your home or from your phone or your tablet, or your laptop, or your TV, or wherever you are. I remember, and it's not like I have to go back that far, but when Twitter had their own, I can't think of it now, it starts with a P, but Twitter had their own, like, streaming video service. And I don't use it now, and it's definitely not as popular as it once was, I think. But I remember Colt Cabana was real big on that, and I sat in the parking lot of Hannaford in Gardner, Maine, and at I don't know what it was, 3 in the afternoon, and watched live, might have been 10 in the morning, actually, and watched live, Periscope is what it was called, someone, you know, Periscoping Colt Cabana's match. It was on his channel, so they're using his phone, and it was just the hard camera, if you will, but it was his match live from Germany. And he put it up on his Periscope, and there's no commentary, just watching his wrestling match. They went like 15 minutes. I sat in the parking lot of Hannaford watching this match that was happening live in Germany. It blew my friggin' mind. You know, like, the fact this is the access we have to wrestling now. And this is what makes being a wrestling fan so hard, because there's so much to consume, there's not enough time to consume it all. So even though you would now have more access to wrestling... That didn't come out right. Even though you now have access to more wrestling from around the world than you ever did before, there is so much of it, it's so hard to keep up on it. It's so hard to keep relevant beyond the scope of what's happening in WWE that it's frustrating for me. And it almost discourages me a little bit, because, again, I pride myself on my knowledge of wrestling and knowing a lot about it, but now it's... It's almost like I have to be a doctor where I have to pick a specialty where it's like, I can know a lot about I can know a little about a lot, but, you know, I'm going to be a New Japan fan, so I'm going to know that by heart, or I'm going to be a Progress fan, or I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be a U.S. Independence fan, so I'm going to know all those by heart instead. I'm not going to focus as much on this other stuff, and I don't know, almost kind of sad to me. But it's good for the wrestlers. You take a wrestler like David Starr, who I can watch him wrestle in WXW. I can watch him wrestle in Progress around the United States in the Independence. He wrestles in Limitless Wrestling here in Maine. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, as an independent worker, I think he's based out of the Midwest. I can follow him around the world as a fan of his and watch the wrestling that he's doing and watch everything he's doing. And that's what a lot of wrestlers have become. They've become their own brands. Like, back in the day, you could have a wrestler that was a babyface in one fed, a heel in the other, a tweener in another. But now, like, when you're following the brand of Colt Cabana, or the brand of David Starr, or Sami Callihan, or, you know, any of these other, you know, Walter, I mean, I could name it hundreds of wrestlers, you know, from around the world. You know, Christy James, Tony Storm. When you're following the brands that they're making of themselves, they can't be a heel one place, a babyface one place, and on and on and on. You know, you have to... They have to be themselves everywhere they go. So you can, you know, and you follow them. You have people like... You know, the Young Bucks have taken YouTube and their weekly TV show Being the Elite, and they've gone above and beyond. Like, I used to remember watching Kevin Owens' show, Kevin Steen's show on YouTube, which basically was just him. Like, it was a lot of times he'd have it set up in his car, and it's just he's talking to his phone while he's driving down the road. You know, his video blogs or vlogs on life on the road with him. I found those to be fascinating. And the Young Bucks kind of started out doing the same thing with them and Kenny Omega and Being the Elite and their travels. But now it's gotten to the point where they're telling, like, they're creating a weekly episodic television show on YouTube that is giving us travel, you know, it's like a travel show, behind-the-scenes stuff. They're doing little skits. They're telling storylines. I mean, Being the Elite has just become, like, this is a part of my weekly wrestling watching now, is watching Being the Elite. And again, that's the power of YouTube. That's the power of the internet. That's the power of where we are as wrestling fans today. And that's why, I say it's really tough being a wrestling fan, because we have so much to consume. And it's frustrating sometimes if you miss something. Like, I feel like I've missed out on Ilya Dragunov all these years, or for the last couple of years that he's been, real hot over in Germany, because I wasn't following WXW really, really close. I knew it was there. I'd seen some stuff. But then this past year, on the 16-carat tournament they did, I see his surprise entrance, and the intensity with which he came out there, the intensity with which those fans greeted him, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't get over it. It was absolutely amazing. It blew me away. It made me want to know, who the hell is this guy? Why haven't I heard of him? And so now I follow Dragunov, and I'm basically, you know, I've made myself consume as much of his past stuff out there that I can find, and now I'm excited to see his current stuff. You know, like, for instance, this September in Wembley Arena, Progress Wrestling is, you know, promoting Hello Wembley, like their biggest show ever, the show that they've been promoting for, by the time the show comes around, a year or better. And they've just announced at the Super Strong Style 16 tournament that it's going to be Pete Dunne versus Ilya Dragunov at Hello Wembley. Yeah, Hello Wembley indeed. That match is going to tear the house down. And I really hope, instead of Progress's normal recording, editing, and posting a week later, they stream Hello Wembley live. Because I really want to see that as soon as possible. Because, once again, where the internet has given, the internet has taketh away in the form of spoilers. And that's a rant for another day, because I could go on and on and on about how difficult it is to want to know about a wrestling show or want to watch a wrestling show live, especially a show like New Japan Pro Wrestling, which airs at 4:30 in the morning U.S. time, but you're sleeping. Or you're at work, so you can't watch it straight away. But now you can't go on Twitter, you can't go on Facebook, you can't go on Instagram, you can't go on any form of social media or the internet, because that show's going to be ruined for you. And I myself, like, I don't want to be spoiled. I want to watch the show live as it happens and be taken away by it. But again, that's for another day. So it's tough being a wrestling fan. And again, it's not because the matches are bad. The matches are better than they've ever been. Just look how many five-star matches that Dave Meltzer's given out the last couple of years.